Let's look through the window of baseball as we do it for Truett & White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors. Bruce, good morning. How are you, Bruce Jenkins?
Good, Marty. How's it going?
Well, it's going all right. Pence complained that he was tired because he had to take two flights to get to Philadelphia. I felt badly for him.
Knowing him, when he gets to the ballpark, he'll be full of energy and ready to go. He's might have a little couple coffees beforehand, and hopefully we'll see the real Pence. You know, they've missed him, and he's got to improve on what we saw before, but he's a very welcome to addition to the team, as dire as the circumstances are.
I think so. You know, because I think, as I said on the show last night, finally, you know, you get the team that you left spring training with that everyone predicted would be a wild card team. I think the Dodgers were kind of the consensus pick to win the division with 93, 4, 5 wins. But now you put him in the sixth spot when he gets in there. And now you've got the team that you came out of spring training with. So, I mean, at least when they look around the infield, they're going to see people they thought they were going to see.
So, yeah. Yeah, that's – which is good. I mean, it's heartening to see that. And I think if Pence if he corrects some of his indiscretions at the plate, if he has a little bit more discipline, he can't be striking out as much as he had been or hitting little dribblers and all that sort of thing. And, you know, he won't be hitting six for long if he shows up as the real Pence. And I think he will. I mean, a guy's track record, you know, will tell you what kind of player he is. And the way he was early this season is certainly not him.
Well, in a way, I hope he does hit sixth because that means Belt is doing his thing. Posey is finally hitting, you know, with some power and driving runs in, and Crawford is doing his thing. And let Pence just settle into that spot and do the things you just said with panic behind him. And, Bruce, it's mind-boggling to me. I swear it is that this team does not score more runs. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's almost surreal. I mean, you know, obviously they don't have a lineup that the kind of lineup you see in Houston or Washington or even the Dodgers, but, you know, they've got good professional hitters with a lot of history, and they're coming up with guys on base, and there's all kinds of opportunities, and it's not like they're facing Chris Sale, you know, every time.
Yeah.
Yesterday they were up against a kid Lively whose stuff I didn't think was that impressive. He was hanging some breaking balls and whatnot, but they just aren't hitting, and it's been going on for so long, it's really disturbing. You know, they're going to hit, they're going to have a streak, they're going to play better, I think, but because that's just, you know, who they are. Once again, guys will, over 162 games, they'll match the back of the baseball card more often than not, but it's getting late. It's early, but it's kind of late.
Yeah, I said it's till the end of the month. I give them to the end of the month, and if it doesn't happen by then, it's not going to happen. So now they've got 30 days or 26 days, whatever it is, with their team back. And they've got their starting pitching, other than Bumgarner, and their bullpen. They got their closer. So let's see what happens. But you got to win games, and that's the whole thing. Buster Olney had something today on MLB or ESPN, wherever he writes, about launch angle.
Yeah, and that's a big thing now.
Yeah, this Yonder Alonso has changed his launch angle, and the guy is going to hit 35 home runs. And the Giants, maybe the launch angle. Maybe they don't have the launch angle down. Is that it?
It's quite a trend. There's going to be kids named, you know, here's Launch Angle Jones, you know, Launch A Jones.
Right.
Well, you know, I think the word spreading through the bigs is, you know, the money is in the air. You know, get the ball in the air, drive in runs, hit the home run. And, you know, the idea of a nice solid .285 batting average or playing to your strengths and not necessarily trying to go deep is pretty pervasive. And, of course, you know, with guys like Trout and Chris Davis, you know, I mean, it's obscene. And, you know, and it's a pleasure to watch, you know, right down to Cody Bellinger. But, you know, I think in a lot of cases, you know, guys they're sacrificing their batting average, they're sacrificing their production going for launch angle. But it's certainly not going to stop. It's kind of the trend in the game right now. And, you know, I like a good uppercut swing as much as the next guy, and it's fun to watch when it works.
Yeah, but you got to know how to do it.
Yeah.
I will play amateur batting coach here, but maybe for Posey and Crawford, now Belt's got that kind of swing. He tries to launch it. But maybe a couple of these people who are not doing what we think they should do, maybe they're trying to get under the ball more and they're getting out of their natural swing. Because look, Posey could hit 400 if he wants to hit line drives, but maybe there's pressure on him to hit home runs. He's changed his swing, and Crawford too.
Yeah, well, it's all about backspin, you know, getting a ball that'll carry. And there's so many small ballparks around, and when you get a little uppercut on it with that kind of a launch angle, you'll get the backspin and you'll get the results that you want. But, you know, I'd love to see more guys like Daniel Murphy, who sort of feel the pitch by pitch in his and, you know, goes to all fields, or a guy like George Brett, who just kind of hit the ball squarely, just the most perfect square swing you ever saw, and you know, got a lot of power out of it as well. But, you know, we'll see where this goes. Just the quick look we got at Austin Slater, it looks like he's got basically a pretty flat swing where he almost hits down on the ball, which is kind of refreshing.
Hey, Tommy Joseph, if you saw his home run yesterday, my goodness, you know, again, 111 miles an hour. I don't know how they do it so quickly and figure it out. But that was one of those, Cueto put it right there, and this guy didn't miss it. And the ball was, as soon as you saw the swing, gone. You know, you knew it.
Yeah, that's really the case everywhere. You know, guys are just coming out of their shoes with that uppercut swing, and you know it's gone when these guys get a hold of it. I mean, heaven knows Giancarlo Stanton might leave two ballparks.
Well, look at how many grand slams yesterday. They had six grand slams. They set a major league record yesterday. And
I think it was seven.
Was it seven? Okay, seven. The Taylor, Schwarber, Pujols.
Adams. Yeah.
Adams, and then he hit another one in the 12th, another home run in the 12th. But let's touch on Pujols, because you and I didn't do that yesterday. But I got to see it. I was watching the game last night, and I obviously have nothing to do on a Saturday night. I was watching the Angels and Twins, and here comes Pujols. The base is loaded, and you can describe it after that.
Well, I'm just now coming up on the highlights here. I haven't actually seen the pitch, but
you actually have a Saturday night then.
Yeah, we had a little party here, and I just got up a little while ago. But I haven't checked the highlights. A little coffee right now, but you know, Pujols. I mean, this is a guy who's going to be remembered when he was with the Cardinals. Even with probably 7 or 8 years left to go in his career, as we see him now, he was regarded as one of the greatest right-handed hitters. He's a little bit like Henry Aaron. I mean, it wasn't so much about the power. It was just this guy is just a tremendous hitter, and then the home runs start piling up, and next thing you know, the guy's got 600, which is just unbelievable. But I give the guy a lot of credit because he's played – his feet haven't been right for several years. You know, he has no speed left. He's had a lot of foot problems, had to sit out large chunks of seasons behind it. And, you know, the guy's still cranking, and it's one situation where the DH obviously comes in real handy, but – he's a pleasure to watch. He's just so dangerous up there. He's distinctive, and you know, good for him. I'm sure it's a relief to get that 600 out of the way.
Yeah, and I mean, I did see it. You know, he got under it, and it was just a towering fly ball. Now, if you're in the ballpark, you know as soon as it's hit that it's gone because of his launch angle. You know, and the ball was just up there and into the seats, and it took him a little while to get around the bases. You know,
I'm actually looking at it right now. He went down and got it and still hit it. I mean, he had such an uppercut swing on a pitch down around the shins that he still got a lot of backspin on it, and it stayed up there forever.
Yeah. First round Hall of Fame, first ballot Hall of Fame for sure.
And, oh, yeah.
Hitters, really. One of the great hitters of all time, truthfully.
Definitely. I mean, the guy was known, you know, for all facets of hitting in his prime. And, man, yeah, there's just no question. He's one of those guys, you know, my standard is always, did he strike you as a Hall of Famer, you know, at the time as the years went on? And he's right there among those guys.
Absolutely. Bruce Jenkins with us. Bruce, Bob Nightingale tweeted out this morning the passing of Jimmy Pearsall, age 87. And I talked about him earlier. Didn't he broadcast out here? Didn't Charlie Finley bring him?
Yeah, Charlie Finley hired him. He was on the air for a while. They had a severe falling out. I remember Pearsall was back in town after his stint with the A's. I forget who he was coming out with. And I talked to him for a while, and I asked him about Finley. And his reply about Finley was so vile that I wouldn't even broadcast it over the airwaves. It was a real special brand of hatred, let's put it that way. But this is a guy who played, you know, for all of his wackiness and running around the bases backwards and obviously was in an institution for mental problems. I mean, the guy played 17 years in the big leagues. He had some good years. He hit over 300 with Cleveland. He led the league in doubles one year. He had 19 homers one year. And, boy, talk about a distinctive figure in baseball. I mean, and I just love the fact that he got so much out of his career when obviously, you know, he had a lot of issues to deal with.
Well, he was one of the best center fielders in those days. You know, they mm-hmm. talked about Jim Landis,
yeah.
you know, maybe equaling Willie Mays. And mm-hmm. Pearsall was right there with Jim Landis as, you know, the great center fielders of all time. And the story I remember about him is that he got under the skin of Joe Gordon so much with the mm-hmm. Cleveland Indians that they traded Joe Gordon to Detroit for Jimmy Dykes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Pearsall drove him nuts, and that's what it was. But I got to meet him, and I wish my archive that I have up here had the interview in it, but I've got it's down in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a pleasure meeting him, and we sat outside. He was an instructor with the Cubs, and we sat outside the Cubs locker room in Mesa on a picnic bench. And I know he gave me a lot of time, and I know I recorded some of his stories. I tried to get him over the winter, but I had a phone number and no one answered. So he was a character, but you're right. A heck of a ball player. And the movie, come on, Fear Strikes Out with Tony Perkins and Carl Malden was in that as well.
Not the greatest impersonation of a ball player, Tony Perkins. Good thing he could act, but that wasn't the point, I guess.
Well, he was pretty good as a grandmother.
Right.
He's pretty good. you know, psycho.
Psycho, yeah, exactly. The shower scene.
Steve Lyons.
I don't think he did a shower scene with Pearsall, but I could be wrong.
Steve Lyons, that was psycho. Called him psycho.
Yeah.
Well, boy, what a day today in baseball. It's Sunday, and we get into June, and, you know, Washington's walking away with it. Houston could win 100 games. And then you look at Milwaukee and Minnesota. And it just can't happen, Bruce. It cannot happen. They cannot win. I'm sorry. They can't win.
Yeah, I agree. It's just funny, you know, the Giants are struggling and they're 12 games out and it really doesn't look very good. And, you know, there's a lot of teams that are having trouble. I mean, in Chicago, it's what's wrong with the Cubs? What's wrong with the Cubs? They're one game out. You know, the Cardinals are struggling. They're one and a half out. Kansas City, it's like, are they going to trade, you know, Kane and Hosmer and Moustakas? Man, we could have a real haul. They're only five out.
Right.
You know, Boston, what's wrong with them? They're three out. Even Toronto, which was completely written off, they're in last, but they're six and a half out. It's not right. completely out of the question.
Right.
And then you get the Giants division. Man, you slip up like the Giants have, and you got a price to pay.
Yeah, you do, and it's that crazy. You know, I don't know. I always say this time of year. And are you going to the NBA today? Are you going to the
I am, yeah.
Yeah, this time of year, you know, the whole sports world thinks in one game at a time or two games can turn the world around. And baseball's not like that.
No.
And you go through the NHL playoffs and the NBA playoffs, and you're in seven-game series all the time. And it's a big deal to win a game or two. And it sort of transcends into baseball. And you have to sit back and say, look, there's 105 games to go here. You know, anything can happen. And, of course, you get a trend after about 80 games, you know what's happening. But I always say, once this NBA thing is over and the peaches are on the trees, then you can look at baseball.
Always look for the peaches. The peaches will tell you everything you need to know. I find that true in life.
Until they're on the trees, you don't worry about what's going on. Look, I'm glad to have you on an early Sunday. Have a great afternoon today. I'm glad you're out there working, and I'll see you next week.
Pleasure as always, Marty. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. That's Bruce Jenkins. More coming up right here on the Sports Leader.